Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen here with another Castle Country Focus interview. And today in the studio, we're joined by Alan Sumnall, the chair of the Carbon County Democratic Party. We're going to be talking about the upcoming Carbon County No Kings rally. That's coming up on Saturday, June 12th at noon. Alan, it's a pleasure to have you in here. Thanks for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
So let's talk for a second. This is a nationwide rally that's happening. We're seeing it all across the United States. But in Utah, I was looking into it before we started this conversation. There are 11 locations for a No Kings rally across the state, and it's in some areas where you're not typically going to see activities like this. We're talking places like Heber, North St. Pete, Ephraim. It really is a movement nationwide. So let's talk for a second. What's the purpose behind this rally?
So if they're calling it nationally, they're calling it a day of defiance. I'm not sure we're prepared to go that far with what we're trying to accomplish, but there are approximately 1,500 cities across the 50 states. Some, I imagine, are going to be quite large. Others are going to be maybe smaller like ours. In reality, it is an opposition to the concerns of what many believe is a growing authoritarianism. And I'll talk more, kind of reveal some stuff as we go. But I think of rallies, because, you know, in Utah, we don't tend to be terribly outward in that sense. You know, we tend to be more reserved. We do tend to be conservative. But we have to remember that, you know, Benjamin Franklin, shortly after the Continental Congress, said that, you know, we've got this democracy if we can keep it. You know, and he talked about active participation. He specifically mentioned vigilance of the citizenry. Now, I know that for many people in this area, when we speak of the vigilance of the citizenry, our minds immediately want to go to perhaps thoughts of the Second Amendment. Okay, and but the First Amendment is just as important. I have the right to organize, to speak, and make posters just as much as I have a right to own guns, which I do. One thing that Benjamin Franklin said is that the continued success of our system is not guaranteed, that we have to do the hard work. So we're trying to educate about certain things. My biggest concern is what's being done to our judiciary right now. That's kind of what I've been really, really concerned about.
Now, an event like this, it's not something that just happens overnight. You can't just kind of jump in, wake up one morning and say, you know what? I want to host a rally. So what's the planning process been behind this for you guys?
Well, we've been talking about it for a couple of months at our Democratic Party monthly meetings, which, by the way, we have one on Thursday at the United Mine Workers Association building in Price. So we've been talking about that. We've been kind of been putting our feelers out, trying to find the right tone to take for, you know, for Carbon County. In a big city in Salt Lake, you know, people can go and they can scream and yell, but they're not screaming and yelling at their neighbors necessarily, right? And so we don't want to do that. We want to talk to our neighbors. My professional experience lies primarily in education. I did doctorate work in Latin American history. One of the guiding principles of a researcher, an academic, is that you have to be as equally hard on your findings and your research as you are anybody else's. For me, that got encapsulated a few years ago when I heard one of my favorite podcasters. He said, there is cynicism in holding your side to a lower standard, and there is cynicism in holding their side to a higher standard.
I like that quote.
It's a very good quote, and it's something that we should try and we should try and live our lives by. It's a healthy, it's a healthy dictum to have, and it helps us to, more than anything, it helps us to really solidify our beliefs when we're being fair about it, when we recognize where our blinders are and things like that, you know. And I know that, you know, in Carbon County, you know, there's some well-deserved historical animosity towards the Democrats over the last 2 decades, and it's been manifest in the results of the elections, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean we are wrong about everything, and things do change. And like you said, 15 years ago, would there have been a rally in Price, Utah? Probably not, but we're ready now. We're concerned enough, and really this challenge against the judiciary is really crystallizing that organization, I believe.
Now, one of the things that you wanted to talk about coming in here was the importance and kind of the responsibility we have to be good citizens. And it all goes back to that quote from Benjamin Franklin you brought up earlier, that this democracy is ours if we can keep it. Why do you think it's important for us to be good citizens, and what kind of responsibility falls on us to do so?
Well, you know, when the Constitution was first formulated, our population, I don't have it offhand, but maybe the colonies had a million people. It was fairly decentralized. It was, Washington did not have the type of control, either for good or for bad, in that sense. But as we've increased in population and just the complexities in our society today, so many things are nuanced and honestly difficult to understand at times. But the simplicity of it all is that the U.S. system of government is in essence like a three-legged wooden stool, right? We have our executive branch, and we have our legislative branch, and we have our judiciary branch, the judicial branch. The stool doesn't stand if we have a very, very strong executive leg, but a weak legislative leg, or a weak or judicial leg. Interestingly, each one of those legs were designed to be a check and a balance on the other, correctly. And so, again, back to this vigilance of the citizenry. We believe that this attack on the judiciary is foreboding for a number of reasons. First, let me just say, when we talk about from a historical perspective, if we look at the types of institutions that have attacked judiciary branches in history, we could start with Perón in Argentina, Hugo Chavez and Maduro in Venezuela, General Franco in Spain, Castro, Ortega and Somoza in Nicaragua, Generals Rios Montt in Guatemala, Noriega in Panama, Bukele in El Salvador today, Bolsonaro in Brazil, Putin, Erdogan, Alberto Fujimori in Japan in the 1980s, Pinochet in Chile in the 1970s, where during a 10-year period, almost 100,000 people, mostly students and activists and professors, were literally disappeared. They disappeared off the face of this earth. I lived in Argentina shortly after the overthrow of the military junta following the war in the Falkland Islands. The same, 100,000 people disappeared during that 10 years for doing what Benjamin Franklin says we have the duty to do. And that should concern us. And they did it by attacking the judiciary. They delegitimized the judiciary. They rigged the judiciary. And my concern is I'm starting to hear that same rhetoric being voiced, this idea of judicial activism and such. But we should probably put it in perspective. Since January 20th, the Trump administration has lost approximately 96% of the cases that have gone to the courts. Over 250-some challenges, mostly to executive orders. And remember, when I said about it's cynical to hold yourself to a lower standard and hold your opponent to a higher standard. Executive orders are bad, regardless of whether it was Obama, Biden, or Trump. Let's just be fair and say that. Executive orders are not good. And this administration is losing 96% of the challenges. Now, not all those are concluded cases yet, right? Some of them have just been temporary restraining orders, injunctions, things like that. But the breakdown of how the judges have ruled is almost identical. Republican-appointed judges, reaching all the way back to Reagan, who are still on the bench, have ruled against the Trump administration 72% of the time. The Democrat judges have ruled against Trump 80% of the time. I would challenge anyone listening to tell me where in this country 72% of Republicans and 80% of Democrats agree about anything. So that tells me that this is not about activist judges. This is about judges doing their job, using their training, using their schooling, the countless hours of study to understand, the living organism, which is the U.S. Constitution. And so for that reason, I think this particular rally has really, really taken off, especially in conjunction if you understand that there's been a concerted effort to concentrate and change the nature of the executive branch in the United States. You may not be concerned about what President Trump is doing unilaterally today, but you will be concerned if, let me say, Gavin Newsom or Bernie Sanders became president. Again, holding your side to a lower standard than the standard you hold the other side to is problematic, and it's disingenuous. And so that's why this particular rally, I think, is really gaining some foothold. Let me tell you briefly, though, about some of the cases that the Trump administration has been successful at the Supreme Court level. President Trump won in the sense of allowing DOJ to have access to sensitive information from the Social Security Administration. Now, most people, at least up until a week ago, were super excited about what Elon Musk was doing. This embarrassing public breakup may be changing some people's minds. But let me throw this out again. Hypothetically, a Democrat becomes president in 2028 or 2032, And he decides to bring someone in to work on the efficiency of government. And lo and behold, he picks George Soros. Will you be just as eager to support that gentleman's efforts to clean out fraud, abuse, and waste? And when I say fraud, abuse, and waste, we need to understand. When people throw out the word abuse, they're generally simply talking about programs they do not like. And contrary to their understanding, that's not how this system of government works. One person does not get to choose what programs exist, what programs don't. If you don't believe that, read about Marbury versus Madison. The purse lies with Congress. It is their responsibility to determine where the money goes. And it's supposed to work as a collaboration, right? And it has worked as a collaboration for a long time. But over the last decade, we've really seen things go south. So access to Social Security information, your Social Security numbers, where you live, how much you're getting, all of these things. They've also granted President Trump permission to curtail $65 million of government grants to teachers. The Teacher Quality Partnership Program and the Supporting Effective Educator Development Program. One man is determining that $65 million that could go to help teachers help your child learn, grow, develop, succeed has been taken away with the swipe of a pen. I do not think that that is healthy. So that's kind of where we're coming from. The one last thing I would like to emphasize, and it's not strictly tied to the judiciary, but it's this big, beautiful bill. Let me just read one line from that bill. No state or political subdivision thereof may enforce any law or regulation regulating artificial intelligence models, artificial intelligence systems, or automated decision systems during the 10-year period beginning on the date of the enactment of this act. They are basically trying to get the states to abdicate its autonomy and its rights specified in the Constitution to legislate or restrict the federal government from determining the legality of AI in the state of Utah. In simpler terms, Utah, with what is most likely to be, AI is going to most likely be the most incredibly exciting, yet potentially most dangerous technology ever in human history. And so far, our congressmen, each and every one of them, has said that they are okay with that. I know for a fact that if Pete Buttigieg was president, people would not be okay with that, nor should they be. I would not be okay with that. Utah needs to be able to self-determine with regards to these things, mostly because the exponential curve of AI, it's not to be afraid of what what we know AI can do. It's to be afraid of what we know, what we don't know AI might be able to do. And so a lot of this revolves around laws, but it's hard. It takes effort and people are busy. So what we're doing this Saturday is saying, hey, just come out and listen to us. We're not interested in culture wars. We're not interested in throwing names like libtards or whatever negative word, pejorative term liberals have for Republicans. We just want to talk to our neighbors. We think we have a good argument. We think we have good data. We're simply concerned.
Now, Alan, unfortunately, we are running out of time. But is there anything you want to leave our listeners with before we let you go?
Carbon County is awesome. Carbon County has so much to give its citizens. But we have to take care of that responsibility. We have to do the heavy lifting ourselves.
Well, Alan, it was a pleasure to have you in here. Thanks again for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it. Again, that was Alan Sumnall, the chair of the Carbon County Democratic Party. We were talking about the Carbon County No Kings rally coming up this Saturday, June 14th at noon. And for more Castle Country Focus interviews like this one, you can stay tuned to KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, or you can listen on the Castle Country Radio app. And for the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Aiden Mortensen.